murder podcast.
It's anything but murder, shorty. But we've got murder.
We do.
Well, we can't have murder.
But we have a special guest with us.
That's the best part. This is Andy G. Say hi.
Hey, what's up, everyone? It's Andy G here from Mood for Days Cast. Big shout out to all the sugar-coated murder podcast listeners out there around the world and in North America.
Thank you.
And a big shout out to your fans as well.
All of your fans and all of our fans, yours and ours in Canada, because we seem to have a pretty good following, I think, thanks to you.
Thank you. Yeah, the crime podcasts out here are really popular. And yours is amazing, too. I really love enjoying listening to your guys' stuff out there.
Thank you so much.
We actually just landed number 121 on Apple charts.
In Canada.
Wow.
So, I mean, there's probably 122.
But still, at least we're on the charts.
We're on a chart somewhere, and we're so happy about that.
That's massive. You guys need a television show now.
Oh, yeah. No. Again, faces made for radio,
right?
Not for television.
And you see how technologically crazy we are because you can only see our heads, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, we don't
know. We've got a microphone in a box on a table. Yeah.
Well, hey, it's working for A to Z, so that's all that matters.
It definitely gives it the air of a DIY setup.
Yeah.
Nothing fancy here, that's for sure.
No, and you've got like a great background on your screen. We can see posters and memorabilia. Yeah. All you got is my kitchen. Sorry.
Yeah, my background right now is my favorite all-time horror character in the horror genre, Freddy Krueger.
Anyone
out there that's a Freddy Krueger fan, I recently purchased the Freddy Krueger collection. Like all Halloween and all Christmas long, there was different Blu-ray collections out there and DVDs for him. And also the Funko Pop behind me too. Another fellow podcaster got me that for my birthday.
Oh, nice.
Back in November.
Nice. That's awesome.
Yeah. If you go back to my Instagram in November, I actually did an unboxing for it, too. Yeah. So, Freddy Krueger, if you haven't seen it or you heard of him, just go watch it again. It never gets old.
Tell everybody how they can find your podcast and how they can find you on Instagram while we have you talking about it.
Yeah, so just go on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else, Anchor, Google Podcasts, and just type in Mood for Days Cast. It's Mood for Days space Cast, and my Instagram handle is, let me just pull it up here because there's a lot of underscores in it. So it's mood_days_podcast_. So again, it's mood_days_podcast_.
Wow, that's awesome.
You can find me there.
Perfect.
They can find you. I'm sure they can. And then are you on any other social media?
Yeah, I'm also on YouTube. I'm also on Buy Me a Coffee if you want to just sponsor the show. $5, it helps out.
There you go.
To any investment, like new equipment. Maybe getting a special guest on that requires a payment of some sort. So, yeah.
Okay.
And everything is in my link tree on my Mood for Days podcast Instagram page.
Perfect. Oh, jeez, yeah. You owe me a Coke. So, funny, you were talking about Nightmare on Elm Street. The gentleman that played Freddy Krueger, Robert Englund, he had a show on
the Travel Channel
called True Terror. Did you happen to catch that?
No.
Yeah, no, he did.
I definitely need to go see this now.
He talks about paranormal hauntings, that kind of thing. But a very good friend of ours, Andrea St. Amand, is one of the paranormal experts on that show. So you have to check it out.
Wow, there we go. Yeah, I just brought it up. Wow, so this is a brand new one. It just came out back in 2020.
Yes.
This is amazing. Okay, I got to definitely check this out.
Yeah, so you'll love it. So. And so you'll see our friend Andrea on there. But it's really interesting because they take old cases that were in the newspaper, like back in the 1800s, early 1900s, and they go through it and talk about those cases.
Right.
Wow. So that's pretty cool. And yeah. they get to show you, is it like a reenactment of those cases?
It is, yep. So it's a little creepy.
Those ones creep me out.
Yeah.
It's a little creepy for me, but for you, it's right up your alley.
Yeah, you're going to be like, this is child's play. What are those girls talking about? It's not scary.
Yeah, the synopsis looks really interesting.
Yeah.
It goes, hidden away in the dark shadows of America's history, are tales so terrifying, they must be true. And veteran actor and legendary horror movie icon Robert Englund soars new reports of yesteryear to bring viewers twisted tales ripped straight from the headlines. Can't wait to see that.
Yeah, you'll have to let us know what you think.
Yeah, and he's also going to be appearing on the new Stranger Things season 4 on Netflix.
Is he really? Wow. I love that show.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's so cool.
That's one of the main reasons, too, I'm going to watch Stranger Things season 4 is because... He's on it. We've been waiting now. I think it's going to be going on 3 years.
Yeah.
For this epic season.
It better be a good one.
It better be worth the wait.
It better be. And it better have more than 5 episodes, please.
I know.
You
know,
yes. Please have more than only 5. At least get to 10.
I agree. So, speaking of watching things, we've chatted a little bit with you about watching the documentary on Netflix about the Cecil Hotel, and I don't remember what it's called now because it just went.
I think it's called the Cecil Hotel.
No, it's called The Vanishing. The Vanishing at the Cecil Hotel. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah, so, you got the first part right. the second part right. It's crime scene, semicolon, The Vanishing at the Cecil Hotel.
Yes. Yes. So that was a really interesting documentary that we all kind of watched, and so I want to kind of see what your take is on it, what you thought episode by episode, almost kind of do a deep dive on what you thought.
The first episode was like, it obviously they have to tell a story, they have to build it and then go with it. I think there was like 3 episodes in total.
Yeah.
And I wanted to really check this out because I honestly didn't read any reviews. Didn't even know that. I literally just thought it was going to be about ghost stories, and I didn't know that it was going to be related back to a Canadian missing person.
Yeah.
That's what freaked me out, and that's what got me to finish the 3-part series.
Yes.
Yeah, the first episode, they don't really go into detail about the girl who the story is based off of. But this was my first time hearing about this hotel in Los Angeles.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
It's got quite a reputation.
Well, to me, the most terrifying thing is that this girl found it online, and there's no, like, blaring, you might not, this is not in the best part of town, or...
Don't come alone.
I know she was looking for a cheapish place to stay, but surely there could have been something a little bit better.
Well, and I mean, I just think it's horrible that when the people saw her check in by herself, this young girl traveling alone, I don't know. I would have been like, honey, you need to go somewhere else.
Yeah, we're going to put you somewhere else.
Well, what boggles my mind is like she had a whole family. Like, did not the family, I'm not like giving the family any bad reputation here, but wouldn't the family also do their due diligence of looking into a place for their daughter or sister that's going away that far?
I mean, we would, because we might just be helicopter type mothers.
Yeah.
But I guess not all of them do. I mean, she wasn't away at school. Was she away at school?
No, I think she just was in a phase of her life that she was trying to find some independence. And so traveling was kind of her way to doing it, and traveling to the States, which to me sends a red flag automatically, because I don't think I would travel to Canada by myself. And I mean, Canada's not a dangerous place. So
no, definitely not. Like, especially the name. As soon as I heard the name, the Cecil Hotel, I'm like, this really sounds really sketchy.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't know, LA, I think I would have to not just read reviews, but try to figure out like, What are safe places in LA? What are not safe places? I mean, it's not like she was going to Montana. She was going to like LA. It's a huge hub in the United States. It's one of our most populated cities. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't think I would travel to LA by myself.
I wouldn't, but we've never been brave. I know a lot of people that got that travel bug in their 20s, and left. I have a friend that left and went to backpack around the world alone.
Oh,
she didn't go with
anybody.
Is she
still alive?
She is. She was very successful in her trip.
Yeah, that's crazy. So, yeah, I don't, if that were my daughter or even my sister, what's that? I think that I would have a huge problem with, I mean, I would just be really fearful for that person's safety. But I don't know. I guess hindsight's 20/20 because had she checked into the Hilton, we wouldn't be having this conversation probably because she, you know, like.
Well, we don't know. We don't know.
No, but what I'm saying is we wouldn't be talking about that hotel. And if she checked into a plush hotel and went missing, we wouldn't be talking about the hotel she checked into.
Right.
So.
Like the main attraction here was the hotel itself.
Yeah.
And as soon as you Google the stay on main hotel, like it's a 2-star hotel.
Yeah.
So right there, that's a red flag for concern.
Yes.
Right there. And then as you scroll down too, it goes list of deaths and violence. Now, 7 or 8 years ago, I don't know if this information was on Google.
Yeah.
But straight away though, I'm sure you could have read reviews 8 years ago to see what this hotel was all about.
I would think so.
Because it definitely looks like a hostel. It's a hostel.
Yeah, it definitely looks like a hostel, which is very scary. I hear about people going and staying when they backpack and stuff in Europe, that they go and stay in hostels. But that, you know, and that is a cheaper way to go for a lot of people. And so a lot of people do that. It's not something that I do. I require like privacy and a remote control and my own television and, you know, those things. But that's me. I'm very pampered.
Americans. Some people, come on.
Some people don't require those things when they travel. So, I don't know. I think that definitely hindsight, that's not the place for her. But this was very well known as the place where the Night Stalker had lived while he was night stalking. And people knew that because a couple of episodes ago, I covered a case where there was a serial killer in Austria that got out and then actually went and stayed at the Cecil Hotel. And the reason he stayed there was because he was a huge fan of Richard Ramirez.
That would be Unterweger.
That's Unterweger. Unterweger. Unterweger.
Unterweger.
Wow.
I mean, and that was a while back that he did that. So he knew that he had stayed there. So somebody, there was publicity about it somewhere. If he found that out from Austria, somebody had to have been able to find that somewhere, that she necessarily did the best homework. But once she was there, I don't think it would have taken me but 2 minutes to say, this is not the place for me.
I don't know. If you go on Google and look at some of the reviews from like 4 years ago, they're not that bad.
Are you kidding?
I'm not.
It's really messed up too. And it's really deceiving, especially someone who's coming from very far away.
Yes.
Like the actual photos look really clean, really nice.
It looks like a really cute vintage hotel.
Yeah, and I know when they were interviewing the couple, there was a couple from Europe that's in the documentary, and they said, like, when you walked in, it looked all elegant, but then once you got into the elevator, something wasn't right.
Yes, I'm surprised they stayed as long as they did as well. I'm shocked that they stayed as long as they did. God bless them. Their whole thing was they were only going to sleep there. They were not going to be there during the day. They were going to be out sightseeing. And so all they needed was a place to lay their head. But
you want, so if you haven't checked out Stay on Main Hotel, go Google it. It's a budget hotel in downtown Los Angeles located at 6th Street Main Treatment on December 20th, 1924. And it's 1904 hotel. And the owner's Richard Bourne. Pretty crazy, yeah.
So let's talk about the manager.
Yes, so she seems to love this place.
A little too much.
She didn't give any bad publicity on this documentary about it.
Not at all. As a matter of fact, I feel like she's in love with the hotel. She might have a relationship with it.
Is there like a paranormal presence there that's giving it, like she's like telling her to say these things, maybe?
No, I don't think she works for that hotel anymore.
Not anymore.
She's moved on, but she may work for that corporation, which is why she didn't really
Yeah.
Yeah.
say
give it a bad publicity. But while she was working there, I wonder if she, I don't remember if she mentioned if she felt physical presence.
I don't think she did. Everything that she talked about was like rainbows and flowers. And it was like, this is a great place and it deserves a better reputation and we're doing the best that we can. And the other thing is that I kind of felt like, well, she said she had never worked in the hotel business before when she got hired to do this.
Yeah.
So she had nothing to compare it to. But I mean, I've never worked in the hotel business either, but I don't think it would take me but a night.
Right.
To say this is not for me.
I don't think she was even going upstairs, taking the elevators and going to room.
I think she sat at her desk the whole time.
I did read online, though, that when Richard Ramirez stayed there between 1984 and 1995, one night after he had gone on some bloody kill, he had blood all over his clothes. He came back. He took his clothes off, threw them in the dumpster, and walked up to his hotel naked.
Naked.
And nobody...
Nobody said a word to him.
No. That wasn't enough to raise any suspicions, to be like, oh my gosh. It was just another day at the Cecil Hotel.
Yeah. That's the crazy thing is they have crazy things that happen like that so often that they don't really blink an eye. And I think that
it's not open anymore.
It's worrisome that that would happen and it's like no red flag. Like, hello, we might have a problem. Didn't seem to bother anybody when it happened.
No. It would bother me.
It would bother me, but that's fine. Maybe I'm just pickier than most. I don't know, but I would have a problem.
And wasn't there like a following too in this documentary, like an actual community trying to figure out where she went?
Yes.
Yeah, so they've actually done a couple of documentaries and a couple of different investigative groups have gone through there to try to figure out what happened to this girl. Some of them have been paranormal and some of them have been like crime investigators.
Some of them are just people who are interested in that kind of thing and they've done a lot of research and they got really, really involved.
Yeah.
And then when it was kind of over and resolved, then they really kind of felt lost. But I think there's still a small following that feels like something happened other than a mental break.
Yeah. So. And that they feel like that, you know, that there was definitely foul play and they've been trying to prove it in a lot of different ways. But I don't think anybody that is in authority is really willing to revisit it.
No, I mean, I felt like it was resolved.
Did you?
I do.
I don't. I feel very unresolved with it.
You do?
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah, so after the fact that this series debuted on Netflix, the LAPD actually told TMZ that since the crime scene vanishing at the Cecil Hotel started streaming, the LAPD's 24/7 hotline's been ringing off the hook with tips. They were told that most of the tips were connecting the hotel's haunted past to the unsolved mystery of how Lamb ended up dead in a rooftop water tank.
Wow.
Yeah, so I think that there are a lot of people that feel unresolved with how it all ended, at least on the documentary. So I think there are people out there that still really want the case reopened and they really want a deeper look at what might have happened.
Yeah, and this documentary too, sorry, we spoiled it, but go take a watch if you haven't seen it.
Yeah.
It doesn't give you clues though as to how, where she even ended up in. It always left you on the edge of your seat.
Yes.
It really did. And I just think the explanation of where she ended up and the explanation of how she was found, I think that right there, those two little things, if you just book in those two things, I think there's a lot more there that the documentary didn't cover. I don't know if there's more to the case files or not. I definitely...
Yeah, well, what boggles my mind too is, okay, so they did show us the footage of her in the elevator more than once.
Yes.
So they didn't. What they didn't tell us though is, like, what we don't know is when did this start happening to her? And when she was in the elevator, I think it was episode 2 maybe, as they got deeper into the story.
Yes.
Where we could only see her looking outside the elevator and we could not see anything else. Like, then their theories are maybe there was a person outside the elevator.
And so also, it's hard to tell from that footage how long was she in the elevator, how long after she was in the elevator, was I mean, I know that was the last time she was seen on camera, but like how long did it take before the end of the resolution part? Was it a day? Was it a week? Was it 3 hours? Like how long was she in the elevator? And I think it's very difficult to tell.
Oh yeah, and that's the thing too. We don't know who or what and when, like that hotel, like what type of people are they even letting in?
Yeah, I think that they're letting in just about anybody that wants to come in.
Yeah.
And they do house a lot of people. They did house a lot of residents from Skid Row and from that homeless community in the Cecil Hotel. As a matter of fact, I think it still houses some people there. They've not closed that part of it.
So this is something new, too, that I'm finding out, too. So there's saying that this is not an old article at all. This is pretty new. February 16, 2021.
Oh, wow.
So this is new news. They're saying that, tragically, Alyssa was later found in a water tank on the hotel roof with her death ruled as an accidental drowning.
Yeah.
Alyssa's bipolar disorder was found to be a significant factor. So that was another huge factor where, again, LAPD is saying it's not a conspiracy theory. They're directing it to her bipolar disorder. And also, I'm not too sure what this is all about. The article goes on to say, factors surrounding the 21-year-old's death that to this day remain unexplainable, including the connection to the tuberculosis outbreak, which was taking place in and around the hotel at the same time Alicia went missing.
Right. And I don't know. Are they trying to say that she had contracted tuberculosis and that played into her death? Like, that's a weird statement to put out.
That is a really weird statement. And that's the thing, too. They played it off where it was an accidental mistake when the LAPD first brought the dogs to sniff. They fully missed the water tank.
Right.
Not only that, but according to them, the water tank was closed. But according to the guy that found her, the water tank was open. So what happened? How did it go from closed to open? And so I can understand if that's closed. It's a steel door. And so if it's closed and she's in water, I get that a cadaver dog would miss that because it is, I don't think you can sniff anything through steel.
I don't know. Dogs can, dogs can sniff through cars.
I know they can. They can
closed
sniff
doors,
through
trunks.
Well, but that's, you've got ventilation and stuff. You've got cracks and you've got ventilation where you don't have, this is a sealed tank.
I don't believe it was sealed though. There was a door that lifted up at the top of it. So it was not sealed.
It wasn't sealed, but it was closed.
Right. Like a car door would be closed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. I don't, it's just weird that the cadaver dogs would miss it. But then, I don't know, because it makes me feel like there was a window between the cadaver dogs and when she was found that maybe that's when she got placed in there. And maybe she wasn't in there when the dogs were looking for her.
Yeah. And then there's other theories going around, too, which is really stupid, I think, though. Some theories are suggesting that she was a biological weapon sent to L.A., but had been silenced for knowing too much about the outbreak in the Netflix doc.
That's weird.
Oh, like they sent her with the tuberculosis virus.
So maybe she was carrying the tuberculosis virus with her.
What, were they going to clean out Skid Row? I mean, hello?
I don't know. Maybe she was the COVID person. Maybe she's the one that started COVID.
Also, the thing, too, about this hotel is crazy how they were naming it different level names.
Yeah, I agree.
It looks so squished. And looks so tiny. And as they're doing the wide shots in the documentary, it looks big.
It's huge.
It's huge.
It's big enough that there's really a front part and a back part. And the back part is the one that's kind of sketchy. But the front part supposedly is more tailored to like the business clientele.
And they want to take the front part and turn it into this 4-star hotel and the back part and make it low income housing.
Well,
there's
a law in LA that you can't, once you put the homeless population in housing, you can't evict them. So they can't do anything with that back part where they house them. They can't make them leave. It's a code now that you can't just evict them so that you can upgrade your property. So that's why they're kind of at a loss for what to do. But who is going to approve the zoning for a 4-star front and a skid row back? Like, that is,
exactly.
You talk about the ultimate hotel mullet.
Listen,
that's scary.
If you've got money, you can pretty much get anything done.
I guess. So it'll be interesting to see if anything, if anything happens to that building. I would be really shocked, especially with so much controversy swirling around this case.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe they're just hoping for some more out-of-country clientele that don't really
would love to go stay there just for the mystery of it.
Well, I know that they've had a couple of paranormal groups that have gone in there and investigated and
yes.
stayed the night and all this kind of stuff. I have no desire to be anywhere near it.
Gosh, no. We're good.
I think I'm fine.
Also, do you ever watch American Horror Story?
I watched the first 5 seasons of that.
All right, so the 5th season was called Hotel.
Yes.
Loosely based on the Cecil Hotel.
Oh, I had no idea.
Yeah.
I had no idea, too.
You need to go back and rewatch it. I'm too scared.
Goodness, I really have to go back and rewatch that now.
Yeah, it had to do with vampire sisters or something, but where they stayed with all the murders and the druggies and everything else, that hotel was based
on the Cecil.
Yeah.
Wow.
I remember now. I watched the first, I think I ended up finishing season 5, and I remember, like, they were in the hotel and so many crazy scenes were happening throughout the season.
Right. It would be interesting to watch that and watch the Cecil Hotel documentary again while you're kind of going back and forth and to see if you can pick out some real similarities in what it looked like and, you know, what the kind of the layout of it to see if it was similar. That'd be interesting.
It was. I remember it being very spooky on American Horror Story.
Oh, right. Was it?
Well,
wow.
Yeah, the rooms are really small.
Yeah, it looks like the rooms are teeny and there's not much to them.
Yeah, like now the internet is starting to get on the tuberculosis debate. Even Reddit is saying things about theories on the tuberculosis and how she was brought to LA as a biological weapon.
So I'm wondering, did her autopsy show that she had tuberculosis? Where is this coming from?
Yeah, I don't know where
that's a good question.
Yeah, because once you have tuberculosis, I think you get a specific scarring that's there that you can tell you've been exposed to it.
Yeah. I mean, LA, and another thing was crazy too about it too. There were so many doing hours and hours of tape, especially when they were showing the elevator. It was over like 100 hours and they still don't know. Like, they have no idea.
Yeah. I saw in that documentary, in one of the scenes, they talk about how there was a possibility of somebody being outside of the elevator. And as she is leaving and turn around the corner, right in the bottom part of the frame, they showed what they thought was the shadow of the back of somebody's foot that possibly was there. But I could see that would be maybe construed as that, but I'm not sure that I really bought into it.
I think, like, again, maybe it was, it could have been schizophrenia. I don't know.
It could have been.
Maybe. We don't know.
Yeah, and that's what's really sad. I hope that maybe she will, in the afterlife, come back to one of her loved ones or come back to somebody who speaks to people on the other side, that, and maybe she'll give us her story and figure out what happened to her, because I think it's really...
And then it would be nice if those people would let us know.
If they could just give us a call or send us a text or just an email, whatever they could do to just let us know. But I just think it's sad for any family to just... it's got to seem so unresolved that they just don't know what happened. And they just can't go back and say, first she went to breakfast and then she went to the park and then, like, there's nothing. It's just so erratic.
It still boggles my mind.
Me too.
How it's still unsolved with all the technology we have today.
Yes.
We still don't know if it was paranormal, if a person was there, if she had the strength to even lift up the water tank.
I know, because she was a little girl. She was not, she didn't look like somebody that was that would be like real strong. You know, I don't know how heavy that door is.
So, like, this was a 4-part series. And like, I don't know how they say it isn't exactly haunted. To me, it was haunted.
I feel like there's definitely some haunting there. There's some bad juju in that place, that's for sure.
I'm just going through here. So, you did say Night Stalker. Richard Ramirez resided on this field during the horrific killing spree in the summer of 1985. Is he still alive today?
No, he died in 2013.
Oh, he's dead. So maybe he's haunting that place.
Maybe he's haunting that place, too. That's what I'm trying to figure out here. Did he kill people in that hotel, or...
He lived there while he was doing the killing, but I don't think he killed anybody at the hotel.
Okay. That would be something else, then. That would open up a whole new theory if that was the case.
So the Austrian guy, the Austrian Unterweger, whatever his name was, Unterweger.
Jack.
He actually killed in the hotel. He lured his victims to his room in the hotel where he killed them. So there was definitely murder. There were three different women that he murdered in that hotel, in his room.
Wow.
So I'm not sure what room number he had, but it would be interesting to try to figure out what room number he stayed in to see if it was anywhere related to where this young girl stayed.
And another interesting thing that I thought of, too, you don't know. So we don't know who the people are exactly staying or living in that hotel. They could also be bringing in like evil spirits.
Absolutely. Yes. And I know that they interviewed the one couple from the UK that talked about staying there. I've never seen anybody else that was interviewed that was staying there at the same time as Alyssa. But, you know, they were willing to come on and say, yeah, we were there during that time because they were drinking that nasty water where she was in the water, and they admitted to that. But I've never seen anybody else. Was the hotel not full? Surely there were other people that were there that are probably not willing to admit they were staying there. I don't think I'd admit it. I'd be like, nope, I wasn't there. I wasn't there, not me. So.
Well, and that's the thing. They don't want anything coming back to their name.
Yeah.
So that's why they won't admit it, that they were staying during that time of the murder case.
Right. I agree.
But I still want to know, this idea. How did the LAPD miss it?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
They didn't think of checking the water tanks?
Because they were up on the roof.
That would be the first place I would look on a roof. Any kind of a tank, any tank.
Anything that you could hide a body in. Yeah. Anything. I would be checking that. I wouldn't just be walking around the flat roof like, oh, there's nobody here, because of course there's nobody there. It's out in the open.
Exactly.
So I'm not sure. I don't know what their procedure was right there. I guess maybe they were just relying on the dog, but I would have been opening every door, every hatch, every crack, everything.
Yeah, me too.
So
while I was watching it too, like while they were showing the footage of her in the elevator, I think at one point too, she went to a window. Did she go to a window of some sort?
They showed the window where she would have gone out onto the roof. The team that shot the documentary walked out to the end of the hallway where it was a window, not a door, that you had to open and go through to get out onto the roof. So they did show that window.
But
I don't think they ever showed her. That, like, there was no footage of her at that window.
I'm just trying to think here, too, again. When she's looking out both ways, to me, I feel like it was a spirit. I don't know.
I feel like there was she was hearing something, and she was trying to figure out where it was coming from. Not that there was a person, because if you hear a person, you know where their voice is. But if it's what they call a disembodied voice, then it's hard to figure out where it's coming from. And so I think that's what she was doing, is looking back and forth to try to figure out. And then it scared her because there was nobody there. So that's kind of what it looked like to me. And then why she pushed all those buttons is beyond me.
Yeah, that's another scary thought.
Right. Like if I'm trying to get away from a disembodied voice, the last thing I'm going to want to do is stop on every floor.
Well, I think she was pushing buttons to get the doors to close. The doors wouldn't close.
Right.
But one of the buttons she was pushing was to keep the doors open, but she didn't realize
what she was doing.
She was just hitting buttons, like, get me out of here.
And here's the other thing. Why have a camera in your elevator, but not in any of your hallways?
Yeah. That's kind of weird.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird? Like, what's the point? What's the point of having it in that teeny tiny little space that just goes up and down, but not in the hallways?
I don't know.
So, because I think most hotels have it in the hallways and in the elevator.
So then that goes back to point A of whoever owns the hotels and who's ever, like, the property management there. Why don't you have cameras in the hotel?
I agree. I think it was kind of sketchy.
Is there some connection that they know? Like, I wonder what they would have to say. Like,
yeah, I would like to hear from somebody besides the lady manager that seems to be in some type of a romantic relationship with the hotel.
Right.
I would like to hear from maybe a different clerk. Was there a different clerk working? A night clerk? A day clerk? Any kind of a clerk?
She might be the only one that was willing to talk because it's gotten so much publicity.
Well, that's true.
She may be the only one who would put herself out there.
Who's willing to admit she worked there.
Right.
You know what's really weird too? When you Google it, it doesn't give you a phone number.
That's because they probably have gotten a lot of phone calls from people. I'm sure they've had to take it down.
Yeah.
So, but how do you make a reservation?
Online.
I guess you go online and make the reservation?
Yeah.
But.
That is creepy.
That's creepy to me. That's creepy.
Yeah, that is really creepy. And even then, how come, is this place shut? I'm going to go, wait, how do you even make a reservation? Because I'm trying to go on the website and I can't.
I thought it was closed.
I think the hotel part of it is closed. The only thing that's open now is just the residency part of it.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Because I think they were trying to sell it or redevelop it.
Yeah.
But if it were me, I would take the phone. I would take my phone number away.
Why am I able to compare prices for?
They have prices.
Yeah, there's a right on Google. It's showing me compare prices. Why would it allow me to even see that?
I don't know because I can tell you at this point it should say how much are we willing to pay you to come stay here.
Exactly, and then it says contact this property for rates and availabilities.
Oh my gosh!
And I just select free cancellation only.
Oh my God! Wow.
Yeah, this is strange.
That's really strange.
Crazy.
That's really weird. I tell you what, don't type in your personal information in anything. They might come get you.
Yeah, I actually wanted to call them, and they don't have a phone number there.
I'm sure they don't. They've probably gotten so many phone calls that they are done getting. They're done. They probably don't want to talk to another soul.
That's crazy.
It was a really good documentary.
Like, this leads me back to that other documentary I watched back in 2020 when we were in the summertime or last spring. It was called I Don't Eat Cats.
I couldn't watch that. I read that it's really difficult to see, and I was scared because I think they show him hurting animals, don't they?
Yeah, at the very beginning they do.
Yeah, I can't do that. I'm such an animal lover. There's no way I could watch that and not be scarred for life.
That one was really messed up too. And because he, like, for him to do what he did, he created a whole community by himself, and he was pretending to create people online and actually comment on his own posts.
That is
so famous. Oh. And then again, too, like, he killed an innocent person.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah, that is crazy. And he did it so he could be famous, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he was
he's really cuckoo.
He sent one of the body parts to the Canadian government's headquarters.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, he was horrible. I mean, that guy, I hope they have him way down in a hole somewhere.
Yeah, they found him in all the way in Paris. I think it was in France or Germany, one of those European countries, which was pretty nuts. They had a warrant out for him. And one of the people in the coffee shop, they were scared. And they went outside and they had to call.
Wow.
Because they didn't know this guy was going to kill them.
That is so crazy. And it's crazy that he was able to get out of the country and go across to Europe and get over there before anybody caught him. So, and thank God for people that pay attention to true crime, because they're the ones that are on the lookout for people like that.
That was insane. That was crazy.
Wow.
And even then, there was a whole community too about who is the guy herding these cats in the YouTube video. The one person too was all the way from America.
Really?
Who started this community, I think, in Las Vegas. Oh. Yeah, to find him. Because they didn't know where he was located. They didn't even know he was in Montreal.
He was just posting it.
Well. Yeah.
Ugh.
Did he kill people too?
He did kill a person. Did he kill
person, I think.
One person?
Maybe one or two, and he killed a cat as well.
He was torturing animals, and videotaping it. It was hard. He was sick, and I never watched that one because I had read that it was really difficult to take.
Yeah, I did too.
And I'm just like, I gotta stay away from that one. Even though we have a true crime podcast, there's just certain places where I gotta draw the line.
Yeah, we're wimps.
we're really kind of wimpy when it comes to that stuff.
It's I don't F with cats. That's what it's called.
Yes.
I don't F with cats.
Yes, that's right. Oh, gosh, that was scary.
Yeah. That documentary too, you don't really know where it's leading. Good job about like starting it off with him, portraying him as a cat killer, and then it goes on to like how he was so crazy to get to where he was at. And imagine like sitting at that hotel, like you're just outside in the front, and after he committed the murder, he just walked outside like everything was normal.
Oh.
And you're the person just having a smoke. And a murderer just walked right by you.
Oh,
that's gotta do. That's gotta mess with your life, with your head forever.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would
like
be.
Like, if I saw that footage on that, if I was there and I saw myself standing, I would be freaked out right now.
To be that close to somebody that was that evil and you just didn't even know it.
You just don't know who's ever walking out of a hotel.
You don't know who's walking out of any in the grocery store. Like, you have no idea. And you don't know who's in your neighborhood. You don't know your neighbors. You don't know your family members. Like, you don't know. They're just people that you don't know, even though you think you know. I can't imagine.
Here in Toronto, it was crazy. Just a couple of weeks ago, it was a quiet neighborhood, quiet family. After the reporters went door to door, were like talking and interviewing people in the neighborhood. The husband, they had four kids, and the husband murdered the wife. It was a quiet, like we were just talking about, like you don't know who your neighbors are either.
Yeah,
right.
Because you think they're all quiet.
Yes.
You know, you see them, but you don't talk to them. And then the people that the reporters were interviewing, they were saying just that. Like, we thought they were like nice family. They were so quiet. They looked normal to everybody. And yet the husband ended up killing the wife.
Wow.
Yeah, that's really sad.
This just happened in Toronto.
Oh, did it?
Like a month ago or something. Yeah.
Oh, wow. I have to look for those news articles and read that.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Crazy because you really don't know your neighbors.
No.
You do. You always see that. Oh, he just seemed like such a nice person, or he seemed like such a nice dad, and you know, find out that he killed his whole family. It's senseless.
Yeah.
So
that was that other documentary too. Maybe we spoke about it. I don't know if we did. Where the other documentary? It was about the guy
in Colorado.
The guy in Colorado. That's another one.
Chris Watts. That's his name. And he killed his wife and his pregnant wife and his two baby girls.
Yeah.
And put their bodies in oil tank.
Yeah, put the two girls in an oil tank. There's a couple of different things that creeped me out. The first thing is that when he drove the mom's body out to that oil field to bury her, those two little girls were in his back seat still alive. He went out and buried their mom and came back and one by one killed them methodically. Yeah. Even the little girl said, "No, daddy." I mean, she watched him kill her sister, and then she had to have known she was next, even though she was so small, so little. But how diabolical can you be? And then when you watch the documentary, he comes in when he comes home from work and the neighbor's at his house. And you see him standing next to the TV. If you go back and watch what's on that television, It is actually an advertisement for some kind of pregnancy, and it shows like the fetus of a baby inside the mom's womb and everything. It's almost like the universe is screaming for that television. I'm here. It's almost like that woman is like screaming, saying, "He did something. He did something." Yeah. And it was crazy. And thank God that neighbor said, "He ain't acting right. Like, this guy never does the things that he's been doing. He never does it. And he's not acting the way that we know him to act. Something is up."
Yeah.
But I mean, that guy, diabolical, and his girlfriend, you know, there's a lot of discussion on what her culpability in any of this was. Like, did she know that he was doing it? Did she encourage him to do it? What was her? So she had said that she was going to change her name and move away. But people have posted pictures. She's still living in the town where she lived this whole time. She's not moved away. And she is, I think she changed her last name, but she's not done anything to hide her identity physically. And she still lives in the same town.
Wow.
So it's just weird. Wow. Like, if that were me, I think I'd move to a different country. It would disturb me so much.
Yeah.
That I think I would have to go to a, I would have
I
to
certainly
have a,
would never date again.
I would never
I
date.
Would never date.
Never.
I would, like, no.
No. No. No. I wouldn't even want to date the opposite sex. Like, at that point, I would not trust anybody. I wouldn't even, like, want to swing for the other team.
No.
Like, at that point, I can't trust anybody.
No.
No. So, I don't know. But I think she's just living her life. Somebody posted pictures of her skiing, like, on a ski vacation or something. And I'm just like, I don't know how I would be able to sleep at night, even if she knew nothing about it. Which she said she didn't. She didn't know he was going to do it. She didn't encourage him. She didn't know he had done it. But you know now. And I just don't know how I would ever be able to, I don't know. People go on with their lives in many different ways. But I just don't think I could stay in the same town and just keep living my life.
Maybe she's got a really good therapist.
Maybe she has a really, really good therapist. That's true. I would have to have several of them on call at all times. I'd be FaceTiming with a team of therapists every day to get me through it. But he actually, he's had some trouble in prison, and he actually went to court and he filed a complaint because somebody had beat him up in prison and he wanted protection or something in prison. And I'm like, you got a lot of nerve. Like, what cojones is on this guy? He killed his whole entire family and he's upset that he got beat up in prison and he wants protection. Where was their protection?
Right.
Like, that guy is cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs that way.
And he's young.
Yes.
Like 35 years old.
Yeah, he is very young. He's got a long, long road ahead of him. Because I think
he's from North Carolina.
Yeah, and he got 3 life sentences plus something. Like, I think it was like a total of 158 years or something. He ain't going anywhere forever. And that's a long life to be living in a prison. So.
And it's not even that. When you look at this guy, he looks like a normal human being. That is the scariest thought of it.
I know. Well, that's the thing. What does a diabolical, evil murderer look like? There's no markings.
There's no mark. Yeah.
Yeah. There's no trait. We can't say, oh, it's all the people that have short pug noses. Like, we can't even, like, there's no DNA. There's no markings. There's nothing.
What causes and what goes through someone's mind just because you had an argument over your marriage?
Well, I think it was more than that. He wanted out of his marriage, and he didn't want to have to go through the shame of divorcing his wife while she was pregnant. Like,
yeah,
and did he really think he was going to get away with it? Like, what was he thinking? Like, okay, what did you think was going to happen next?
Right. How did you see this ending?
How did you see this going for you? Did you think that you were just going to ride off into the sunset with your new girl? And what happens when she gets pregnant and then you find yet another girl? Like, was this just the beginning?
Here on this site that I just found, it said Chris has since revealed in letters from prison that he had been planning to kill his family for at least a few hours before doing so.
Oh, yeah.
The letters were published in the 2019 book Letters from Christopher, The Tragic Confessions of the Watts Family Murders by Cheryl Cannell. who struck up a correspondence with Chris shortly after he was sentenced to life in prison in November 2018.
Wow.
That's awful.
Wow.
I feel like at that point, he probably was waiting for her to come home from her business trip. I think he had planned it, that when she got home, he was going to do it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he had a plan for sure.
Yeah. So I think she had been away on business. And so, you know, the last thing they have, the last picture they have of her is her walking into her home with her suitcase.
Right.
So I think he was planning it from the beginning. So I just, I shudder to think how long it took him. Was it 5 minutes? Was it 2 hours? Did she go on about her life and get a shower and go to bed like life is normal? Or did they argue? Like, there's no telling. But for him to do that to his little girls, his flesh and blood, to me, it's beyond reprehension. It's beyond evil. It's the devil incarnate.
Oh, yeah.
So.
And the way he was acting, that they went missing, they disappeared on their own.
And then he was like, you know, he never went out and searched for her, but he kept going on TV saying, oh, I just want you to come home. But he never searched. He never joined in any of the searches.
Nothing.
Well, listen, Andy, this has been so much fun.
It has been.
It's been great to catch up with you, our Canadian friend. I feel like you're like our Canadian brother. It's so wonderful to have you in our corner. And we are so proud and so honored to know you. And the fact that we've gotten to know you over social media and through a camera and a speaker and a phone and not, you know, face-to-face. But I feel like I've known you forever. So we'll definitely have to do some more of these. We so appreciate you coming on. And everybody go out and find Andy's Mood for Days cast. And then he's on Instagram. He's got a great following. You're so creative. And I love the content that you put out. So keep on chugging.
Yes, indeed.
Thank you, YouTube, man. It's been a pleasure. And anytime that we talk, even offline, it's always a great time, too. And I actually giving you guys information for your podcast as well.
Thank you. You've passed a couple of good ones on. Yes. So we appreciate it. Keep them coming because we'll keep doing them.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, like your podcast too, it really inspired me to like get back into the true crime.
Good.
Investigating shows and murder mysteries and unsolved.
Well, and when COVID is over, we're going to get you into baking too.
Exactly. I hope so. I can't wait for your guys' next baking adventure as well.
That's right.
And when the borders open too, I need to come.
Yes, absolutely. And we'll be waiting for you. So listen, you take care. Be safe out there. Stay sweet. Don't murder anybody because we don't want to have to talk about you.
Oh, I know. Oh, no.
All right. Take care. We'll talk to you soon.
Take care, guys.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.